Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everyone. Ms. Seif's not here today. My name is Robert B., and I'll be sitting in for her. Welcome. We are just at the end of our one-year anniversary on the program, and we hope through the year we've helped someone. That's our goal here. Today I have some very special guests, two ladies that knew each other long for many years, went to school together, used together, and now, thanks to the 12-step program and recovery together. With that, I'd like to welcome Kathy and Etta. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. I know both of you, basically, since y'all been in, first I'd like to start, I guess, with Etta. Etta, how'd you come to know Kathy?
Well, I've been knowing Kathy basically all my life. We went to grade school together, and I can just remember back, way back there, it was back in, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s when we were in grade school, and she was really quiet, and, you know, she was real, her and her sister were very, very quiet in school, but they were really smart. I remember them getting all the good grades and stuff, you know, A's and B's and everything, and she was just real quiet, she was real pretty, and just like a typical young girl. And, you know, I've just been knowing her ever since then. And, you know, it's just a miracle that we, you know, you never know what life may bring you, that we're sitting here in recovery together and, you know, dealing with this disease of addiction. And, you know, it's a miracle, and it's really a blessing.
Thank you. Kathy, we were talking earlier, and as I noticed, Heather was talking about how quiet you was. And you said you weren't that quiet. Were you sneaky back then too, huh?
Yes, I was very sneaky. When I was in school, you know, I wanted to always be a part of things, you know, and Etta, you know, was one of those that I call myself looking up to and wanted to reach out to, wanted to be like her, didn't really know who she was, and always felt separated, you know, and I had, you know, I was envious within myself, you know, and little did I know, you know, that she thought those things about me. It's very surprising because, you know, I had low self-esteem and I just thought, you know, I was envious of her because I thought that she had it going on, you know.
I'd like to remind you out there, if you have any questions during this show or any comments, please call us in at 424-1400 or 888-846-7867. I know that you, it was kind of strange. I heard part of your story, how you are both out in the street using together, and particularly you, Etta, talking about how Kathy became an inspiration for you to get in recovery.
Yes, it was. It was really surprising because, see, most of my time that I was, when I was in my addiction, I wasn't even here around this area. I was away. But I came back in 2004, and, you know, when you are an addict or alcoholic, you really don't know a whole lot of people, but you go in those, or in those surroundings, in those areas, and you can find, you know, alcoholic and addict can find where another alcoholic and addicts are. So, you know, I was around and just kind of happened to run into her, and really surprising, you know, that to see that she was doing some of the things that I was doing. And we just kind of, you know, hung around and kind of went to the same places and things like that. And, you know, she was around for a while, I guess maybe for like a year or so. And then all of a sudden, you know, she disappeared. And I said, you know, has anybody seen Kathy? I haven't seen her. And everybody says, no, we really haven't seen her. So just kind of wondered about her, you know, and it's just one day I just happened to run into her. It was one evening that I had went up to the gas station up there on Riverside to get probably a snack or a drink or something like that. And just happened to see her go in there, and I saw her, and I was really shocked and really surprised to see that, you know, it looks like that she had straightened up, or I know that she hadn't been using, you know. And it really shocked me because I seen her when she was in her addiction, and I seen her when she was, when, you know, right after she got clean. And it just really touched me. It touched me. I said, wow. I said, I knew and saw how she looked and the condition that she was in before she got into recovery. And that just turned my life around. I said to myself, I said, wow. It had me thinking, and I thought about it for a long time, you know. And I said, wow, if she can do it, if she can do this, I know I can do this, you know. And she was really an inspiration. She was one of the first persons that I saw in recovery when I decided to want to get some help for myself. You know, it was really an inspiration to me. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that today.
You know, it's one of many things about recovery. It's usually we hear where people that we use with or whatever, when they disappear, it's because they went back out. Well, on most occasions, they died. It's one of the miracles, I guess, twice every program to hear about somebody that went into recovery and, you know, when they disappeared for the good reason. Kathy, when you saw Ed after you got clean, did you think you would ever see her in recovery?
Honestly, no, because I remember pretty much the last time I saw Etta, you know, it seemed like I could tell she was going through a lot. But when I first saw her and, you know, I wasn't at myself. I was in a place and using, you know, and then I saw Etta do the same thing. You know, she was working then, you know. She had a work uniform on, and, you know, I was thinking, wow, she, you know, she's really maintaining, you know, this thing with being employable and she, you know, just looked like she was handling it pretty well, you know. And then over a period of time, as we used together, you know, it seemed like it was progressing, you know. I could tell, but I was just in my own skin, you know. I was within my own level of problems, you know. And then I went into treatment, and when I got out one day, I really didn't want to go back to that spot, you know, because it was a lot of my triggers, you know. It was a trigger point for me, but I was with my mother and I felt safe. So when I ran into Etta at that store, you know, I saw her and I could see me, you know, when before I went into treatment. And I remember what it was like, and she walked up and she talked to me, you know, and it was, my heart went out to her, you know, and I prayed for her, you know, because I always knew Etta was a good person. And little did I know that we had so much in common, you know, from our histories. And it was amazing. So when I saw her come into the program, you know, I really wanted to help her the same way I was helped.
That's great. You know, as you were telling that story, I was thinking about how I've heard from different people talk about how the 12-step program put them in places that they needed to be. And sometimes, you know, it was their higher power working in their life that caused that to happen. I noted earlier, Kathy, I think right now has about 4 years of sobriety, and Etta, you're coming up, I believe, on 3 years of sobriety.
That's correct. Yeah.
Do you all have a lot of camaraderie during the your recovery program? Do you all share with each other? Do you all try to help each other out there?
Yes, we do. We see each other in meetings, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, when I first came into the program, you know, Kathy always, you know, encouraged me and helped me, you know, told me what I really needed to do and how that this program worked for her, you know. And so, you know, I just kind of listened to her and listened to other people in those rooms and, you know, just did the next right thing and do what was suggested of the program, and that was to go to meetings, you know, on a daily basis, as many as I possibly could, get a sponsor and work with a sponsor, work those 12 steps, and, you know, just do what I'm supposed to do, and that things, doing it one day at a time, eventually things got better for me, and, you know, I'm just really grateful for this program. And this is the miracle of this 12-step program, that it does work. And I've seen it work in so many people's lives since I've been in recovery, you know. And I know that since I've been in recovery, I've seen a lot of people that's been in recovery and then out back out there and then coming back in and back out there. And, you know, I know I learn from the other people. You know, sometimes you just have to sit back and watch and listen and observe other people. And when you do that, you know, you can learn from those people.
Hold on, Ed. I believe we have a phone call. Hold on just a minute.
Hello?
Yes, it's Radio Rehab. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for Kathy. What was the one thing that made you turn your life around? And what would you say to young people that are sort of in the middle and don't sort of want to be with the crowd but really don't want to use drugs? But what was the deciding factor for you to turn your life around?
Thank you.
The deciding factor, what made me want to turn my life around? I've always wanted to do that. It was the not knowing. I did not know how to live. I didn't know how to deal with society. How to make my own decisions. I've had strict upbringing, but it was about choices, basically, and turning things over of, you know, to God's will, acceptance. I have to accept still today a lot of things I choose not to accept or don't want to accept, but I have to accept them if I want to do the next right thing. But for someone that is going through that, you know, the basic element of this whole thing is willingness. You got to want it, you know, and I've always wanted it, but I seriously didn't know how. And how I gained that is through this sponsor, working with the sponsor and working the 12 steps. I started understanding, getting a better understanding of, you know, of what was wrong with me, you know, whether it was physically, mentally, you know, spiritually. That's a big factor in this program.
Thank you, caller. Right now, we've got to take a commercial timeout. Please keep the calls coming, and we'll be right back with Radio Rehab.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, welcome back. This is Robert again. I think Kathy wanted to continue to answer that question the lady just asked on the air. What I also like to input, though, the lady made a comment on a question about the fact that she was still running with the same crowd. Kathy, maybe you need to address that as well.
Okay. You know what made me want to really change was it was the lifestyle I was going through. I had what we call hit bottom. I had been in and out of the, you know, in and out of recovery, in and out of treatment. I continuously did the same things, but I was headed down the path of, you know, I was close to going to prison. I was close to death. You know, I had health problems. The things I was doing out there, you know, it was a lot of shame. It was a lot of guilt, but I also had an attitude of, I didn't care, you know. I always wanted to change, but like I said again, I really didn't know what to do, how to do it. I needed help. you know, because of the lifestyle I was leading. And I had tried going to church. That didn't work for me. I had went into treatment out of fear, you know, strict upbringing. I had had to change my environment, the people I was around, you know, situations, life situations, the way I was thinking. Basically, it was my process of thought, you know, the way I felt, dealing with my feelings, you know, the anger, the resentment, and, you know, like I said, I would get upset about certain things, and before I knew it, it was an excuse for me to go out and use because I couldn't deal with what was going on.
Adam, maybe you can address, you know, the issue about being with the same old crowd. I know the Trust That program tells us we got to change people, places, and things. Did you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I can go ahead and talk about that. I know for me, that's when I first went into treatment. You know, I was listening to what the instructors were telling us, and just, you know, reading the material, and you know, I was just educated on this disease that I was dealing with. And, you know, one of the things that they told us is that you have to change your people, places, and things. You know, those same environments, going around those same people, around those same places, you know, basically what those are triggers. And, you know, you learn, you come to learn about your triggers. And I found out, you know, what my triggers were. And like I said, certain people, I just couldn't be around. Those people that I used to use with, and the people that I used to go out and you know, hang out and steal and manipulate and all that kind of stuff, I had to get away from those people. And I had to kind of isolate myself around people that were in recovery and people were trying to do the next right thing, you know. So, you know, that's what happened with me. And for us changing, and what made me want to change, is because I got sick and tired of living the way I was living. And, you know, as Kathy touched on, talking about that shame and that guilt and that fear and all of that thing, you know, for me, I know I didn't want to go to prison. You know, for me, to be locked up and to be incarcerated was for me to die, because I'm a person that like to be free, and I don't like to be confined. I am not a confined type person. So I knew that in order for me to not get to that point, that I would have to, you know, straighten my life up and stop doing the things that I was doing. And so, I mean, and I'm grateful that I've done that, because like I said, I found out through this 12-step program by working these steps and doing what I need to do, I found out a little bit about myself, and I've learned to accept, you know, a lot of things in life, which I didn't do in the beginning. I didn't want to accept a whole lot of things. But today, you know, thanks to this 12-step program and working these steps and going to meetings and being around recovery people and seeing that these steps and this program is working in their lives, that it's made a big change in my life. And I'm really grateful for that. And most of all, by, you know, taking me back to a power that's greater than myself, you know, and getting back into knowing, you know, who God really is and how he really works. So, you know, that it's a miracle. This program really is a miracle. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that today.
You know, I've experienced some of that, thank you, in recovery, that if you stay clean and sober, that so-called friends you had out there to begin with won't be bothered with you anyhow when you get clean and sober, because you have nothing in common, they don't want to hear your conversation, and you're not giving them nothing. So, you know, we talk about this has to be a separate program, you know, and when we get into that, most of them people, oh, so-called friends, will walk away from us when we're trying to do the right thing. That's the right thing. If there's a part of the big book that talks about, as you do your program, you might be the only big book people see out in the street. And I think that the relationship y'all had has demonstrated that, and hopefully people out there hearing that because Kathy was able to get out and get clean, Ed was able to see that big book walking down the street one day and wanted part of that. And that's what the recovery program is all about, is giving away what we get, you know. And our actions out of these rooms and working these this program helps other people, whether we realize it or not, because we never know who's looking at us. Yeah. But I think the great story here for both of you is the fact that as you talk about God and your recovery, you know, intervening in your lives and still in your lives today, I assume that both of y'all claim God as your higher power today, and that's what's working in y'all's recovery?
Yes, I do. Robert, I do want to say this, that, you know, when Etta came into the program and, you know, she tried it for a minute, and then, you know, I don't know what was going on with her, but she disappeared on me for a minute. She came back. And when she came back, I was still there. I was still in the rooms, still doing the same thing, you know. And I believe that she doesn't know, knows what she does for me today. Even though I have more time, still, she helps me when I need it the most, you know, and throughout to stay, you know, sober and clean one day at a time, because as we say, this is a we program. You know, you have to surrender first to the fact that you've got a problem. That's first and foremost. And when you're going through that, you don't really want to accept it, you know, and then it's about change. You know, it's about action. You know, you have to deal with those feelings or those excuses that we had to go out and use, you know, which there all the times I've tried it, you know, I was never able to stay clean. But today I can do that, you know, and it took a lot of work and a lot of willingness and people like Etta to help me get through this process, which, you know, it's continuous process, and it's something I had to accept and come to terms with that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life.
Thanks, Kathy. You know, I like what you said there. Excuse me, in a minute. But, you know, it's like you talk about, they talk about in the rooms about the newcomer being the most important person there. And you just reiterated that fact that, you know, it doesn't matter how much time you have in the program, you can always help somebody else. The main thing is being in the rooms, being there to help somebody else. A lot of us get our recovery, and it's like we run away from the rooms, you know, and we don't show up to help the newcomer. Etta, do you want to comment on that, talking about God?
Well, yeah. I know that when, even though I was raised, you know, in a Christian background, in a Christian family, and I went to Sunday school and church. My mother sent us, you know, took us to Sunday school and church and everything, and I was raised in church. But the fact is that, you know, what we do is we get up and, you know, we tend to do our own thing. You know, we get away from our upbringing, and then we get out there and you know, get with people that we really don't know what they're about or anything. We just want to get out there and have fun. And sometimes we end up being around the wrong people and doing the wrong things. And like I said, when you do that, it takes your life and down the wrong road. And, you know, in my instance, in my case, you know, it was devastating because, I mean, it was self-destructive for me. And, you know, I'm just glad that I was able to come, you know, that my God and my higher power intervened and watched over me, even though I was out there in some really, really, really dangerous areas and dangerous places. That there was a several times I remember when I was back in my addiction that, you know, that my life could have been, I could have been dead. I could have been in my grave, sleeping in my grave today. But, you know, it's only by the grace of God and this program that I'm still here today. And like I said, he continues to do for me today what I can't do for myself. And for that, I'm really eternally grateful for that. But I just keep doing, you know, the next right thing. I never forget where I came from. I never forget when I was in that hopeless state of mind, when, you know, I was in despair, when I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do. I didn't know which way to turn. But, you know, there was a power in greater than myself that intervened and touched me and said, hey, just pick up that phone and call somebody. Just reach out. Just tell somebody. Tell somebody, you know, what is going on with you so you can get some help.
Thanks, Ed. I've been around Kathy long enough, and she's always in a book or something. I got some chim over here. She wants to read right quick, so we let her do that.
Okay. This will go along with what Etta had to say, you know, about how we find our God, you know. It's called Living It, and it's out of one of the books that I read, you know, on a daily basis. It's called Spiritual Life is Not a Theory. We Have to Live It. When I was new in the program, I couldn't comprehend the spiritual aspect of the program. But now that I'm sober, I can't comprehend living without it. Spirituality was what I had been seeking. God, as I understand him, has given me the answers to the wise that kept me drinking and drugging for almost 20 years. By living a spiritual life, by asking God for help, I have learned to love, care for, and feel compassion for all my fellow men, and to feel joy and peace in a world where before I only felt fear. You know, and I have that today. That's that higher power, which I choose to call God, in my life. And you know, I just want to say that despair thing that Etta was talking about, you know, it's real. You know, but also, you know, you can get sobriety and you can get, you know, clean if you choose to. Anybody can do it.
Just to add to that, what I want to say is that those three indispensable things that we talk about here in this program, that's honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You have to have those three things. If you have those three things, then you're well on your way.
Thank you both. I'd like to thank my special guest today, Kathy, Etta. It's a great story for those out there to remember that no matter where we come from, how long we've been there, UK, there is help available. So get in 12-step program. I know these ladies wouldn't mind in time. If you see them in meetings, you know, go up to talk to them and they get all the help they can. This is Robert signing off for Radio Rehab. We hope to hear you next week at this time. Remember, always do the next right thing. Thank you.